Podium Audio presents In the Shadows, written by J.A. Owenby, performed by Celia Stone and John Hartley. This audiobook contains mature subject matter. Listener discretion is advised. Chapter 1. Death. Liberty for wolves is death to the lambs. Isaiah Berlin. I crept into Ella McLeod's bedroom. Through the parted curtains, the full moon cast a glow on her beautiful curves, and I settled into the gray chair, nestled in the corner. Every luscious part of her body was exquisite, and I yearned to feel my knife run along the dips and valleys of her porcelain skin. The possibilities of how I could etch my marks into her flesh flooded my mind, until my cock twitched, begging to be inside of her. She sighed softly and rolled over, exposing her long, toned legs from beneath the blankets. Her neck was poised perfectly and allowed the access I craved. I willed myself not to run my tongue along the curve and taste her. My dick begged for release, while I fantasized that she woke up, terrified. I envisioned her eyes popping wide open as I slipped the knife into her stomach, the cut, as smooth as butter, would steal her breath as she realized what I'd done. I clenched my jaw and berated myself for allowing my sinful thoughts to consume me. Not my Ella. That wasn't my plan for her. I bathed in my other victim's blood after slicing and dicing them, but not her. Ella was the flicker of light in my dark world, the color in my grayscale existence, and I yearned for her like the night yearns for stars. The first moment I saw her and spotted her shoulder-length dark hair and piercing green eyes, I had to have her. The gentle touch of water on her face made her skin glisten, and as the droplets clung to her eyelashes, my world came to a standstill. Ella was breathtaking, and the only sound I could hear was my heart pounding in my ears. Her mere presence electrified my heightened senses, resonating deep within my soul and drawing me to her. As I massaged the back of my neck, the heavenly but faint smell of her peach and vanilla body wash lingered in the air, imprinting on my mind. Although I'd first seen Ella 1 year ago, this was the first time I'd entered her house. A thrill surged through me. Captivated by her beauty, I pressed the flat edge of the blade against my lower lip and slid it back and forth. The cold steel sent shivers down my spine as I gazed at Ella's chest rising and falling, her tightly fitted tank top accentuating her full breasts. The sharp knife grazed my lower lip, drawing a drop of blood that I eagerly licked off with my tongue, savoring its metallic tang. Life was so fragile, here 1 second and gone the next. It would be so easy to take away the life she'd built for herself, steal her soul, and make it mine for all eternity. My hand clenched the blade's hilt, the veins in my forearm branching out like a spider's web. I moved closer to her bed, my target oblivious to my proximity. Her black hair cascaded like a midnight waterfall, deep and enigmatic, reflecting hints of blue or brown under the moonlight. Its richness and depth never failed to captivate me, embodying both the mystery of the night sky and the warmth of a shadowed ember. An overwhelming urge to touch her washed over me. I brushed pieces of hair from her forehead, the strands so delicate and pristine between my fingers. I reached out my blood-stained fingertip and lightly stroked her cheek with just a whisper of a graze. My little lamb consumed my thoughts. With one glance in my direction, she had become my obsession, and soon I would be hers. We were meant for each other, even if it meant killing people along the way. I had to have her for my own, no matter what it took, because even death deserved a queen. Chapter 2. Sebastian.
Hey, Bass, hook me up with 2 shots of your best tequila.
Kip yelled at me over the loud, thumping music playing at Velvet Vortex, a popular upscale nightclub. Tossing the bar towel over my shoulder, I located his booze of choice. As I poured the liquor, my attention swept over the elbow-to-elbow crowd on the dance floor. The tables and booths were packed with people too. Since the remodeling with a kitchen and full menu, along with a state-of-the-art sound system, top-notch DJs, and a custom floor that boasted the largest dance space in Portland, Oregon, the club had to hire additional bouncers to manage the long lines on the weekends. I focused intently on the dark-haired girl who threw her head back, laughing as she danced rhythmically to the beat of Sick Pretty Mind by Upsal. I noticed her. Noticed her in a way I hadn't any other woman in a long fucking time. There was something intoxicating about her. It wasn't just how life-altering beautiful she was. I watched how her body moved, sinuous and free-flowing, how her face lit up with pure, unfiltered joy. She was guileless, provocative, sinner and saint. But once again her friends surrounded her, blocking my view, and I turned back to Kip. As always, it's on the house, mate. Kip was my best friend and co-worker, and we knew even the rarest details about each other. My attention was once more drawn to the middle of the packed dance floor, a slight smile tugging at the corner of my mouth.
What's up, man?
Kip turned and followed my gaze back to her, and then he flashed a wide grin at me.
She's hot, Bass, but you know the gig. Don't get attached.
I haven't dated in years. Only one night stand, so I think I understand. But don't you ever think of settling down? Kip arched a brow and grunted at me. Shit, mate, I'm fucking 40. I want a family before I'm too old to run around and chase my kids. I placed the shot glasses on the bar top in front of him, the tequila sloshing over the rims. Grabbing my towel, I quickly wiped up the spill.
Get laid and send them on their way. Works for me. Besides, she looks too young for you. I mean, wasn't your first pet a T-Rex?
Kip's laugh broke through a lull in the music.
Fuck you. You're not that much younger than I am.
I turned away from him and took the drink order from a chick who was practically leaning over the counter, her tits about to spill out of her too small, bright pink top. She screamed desperation. Not my type. Her eyes briefly widened when she heard my Australian accent. If I were an arsehole, that accent would let me take home a chick every night of the week, but I wasn't looking for that. I wanted something substantial. Real. Keep dreaming, motherfucker.
Aren't you yummy?
Pinky climbed onto the bar stool, practically salivating over me as if I were the last drop of water in a desert. Thanks. It's the accent, isn't it? I flashed her a wide grin and shoved my fingers through my brown hair, playing her game in hopes of a decent tip instead of a phone number. I would throw her digits in the trash the second she left the bar anyway.
English? I hid my smirk and prayed some dumbass would catch her attention and give me a break from who I suspected was a stage 5 clinger. Australian. A beautiful laugh floated through the air, and I glanced up at the group of ladies heading to the bar. The dark-haired beauty I'd spotted a few minutes ago was with them, smiling and giggling. I smoothed my black t-shirt and hoped I hadn't sweated through my deodorant.
"I've got this round,"
she said to her group of friends. I looked over at Pinky and said, "I'll give you a few moments to decide what drink you want." I strolled to the far end of the bar, captivated by her striking green eyes and raven black hair. Her sun-kissed face showcased a sprinkle of freckles across her delicately upturned nose. "What can I get for you?" Her brows slightly rose right before she offered me the most beautiful smile I'd ever seen.
"I need 4 different drinks, please. A Mai Tai, Long Island iced tea, an apple tini, and a 6 on the beach."
"Which one is for you?" I grabbed the glasses I needed as I waited for her to respond.
The 6 on the beach."
She looked at the floor, and her cheeks slightly pinkened. Was she as innocent as she came across, or was she just shy when she met someone new? She shoved her hand into her pocket and produced a blue hair tie. While I made the drinks, she gathered her hair into a messy bun, and I caught myself staring. "Here you go." I placed the glasses in front of her.
"Thanks."
She slid her credit card to me. "Yours is on the house."
"That's not necessary."
She tucked a wisp of stray hair behind her ear, offering me a shy smile. I wasn't asking. I gave her a wink before I walked away and glanced at the name on the card. Ella McLeod. Once I rang up the order, I returned to her. "Here you go, Ella." She frowned.
"How did you know my name?"
I waved her credit card before I slapped it on the bar along with the receipt, and she laughed. "It's a beautiful name for a beautiful lady." I smiled. Ella sank her teeth into her lower lip, stifling her giggle, those eyes of hers full of mischief and amusement. A delectable combination. She filled in a generous tip and scribbled her signature on the small piece of paper.
"Thanks again."
She gathered 2 of the drinks and handed them to her friends behind her. Inwardly, I sighed. Ella McLeod had politely declined my flirtatious gesture by not flirting back or staying to talk, but it was for the best. My life was too dangerous and too complicated. Plus, she looked like she was in her late 20s, maybe 30, and she probably wasn't into older men. My phone buzzed in the front pocket of my slacks, but I ignored it. If it was important, they could call back. As Ella sauntered away, I appreciated the gentle sway of her hips and the curves of her ass calling my name, and my cock strained against my jeans. It wasn't just her physical beauty that mesmerized me. There was something different about her, a pull that drew me in. At the bar, I encountered numerous women, but none of them intrigued me as much as her. As she disappeared into the crowd, I wondered what secrets she hid beneath her beautiful exterior. Because everyone had secrets. My phone vibrated again in my pocket, and I swore under my breath. After fishing it out, I stared at the screen, my forehead creasing with concern. I hurried to the back room where Riley, the other bartender on duty, was heads down taking an inventory. "Riley, I have to take this call. Can you cover for me?" She blew loose strands of her brown hair out of her eyes as she stood.
"Sure, I need a break from counting anyway."
She patted my biceps as she passed me. I raised the phone to my ear as Riley left and closed the door. "What?" I asked, not disguising the irritation in my tone.
Sorry, boss. I know you're working, but I have information you need. This is a save-your-ass call.
Dope said. We were 12 when I first met Dope, aka Hal, when he'd invited me to his house after school one day. He'd snuck into his brother's stash, and he got stoned off his fucking ass. He had me laughing so hard I was doubled over. As we got to know each other, I realized he was a genius. Then about 6 years ago, I bought him a bag of some seriously sick shit that was grown by the best dealer in the state. I slid the product to him, along with an ironclad non-disclosure agreement that my attorney had drawn up. Like most of my collaborators, I needed to trust them, and a signed contract ensured that. Kip, along with a notary, were present to observe Dope signing the document. Adjusting the phone, I sank onto the edge of the bar stool. I pinched the bridge of my nose, ridding myself of the distracting thoughts that riddled my brain. What is it? I asked. He cleared his throat before he began speaking again.
I've gained access to the information of everyone currently in the club due to the bouncers scanning their driver's license. While this method is effective for preventing drug dealers and pimps from entering, it's not as successful at keeping other types of criminals out.
My gaze narrowed, waiting for him to clue me in. It's why there has to be eyes everywhere all the damn time. Releasing a soft sigh, I rolled my shoulders in an attempt to alleviate some tension.
Our vulture has arrived, and unfortunately there's a hitch. His wife is with him, which might make your job a little more difficult.
Son of a bitch, why is she here? That fucks everything up. I'll have to reassess.
Sorry to deliver the bad news, but I didn't want you to start chatting with him, then get knocked off your game when she joined him. One wrong word, and the entire plan turns into a shit show.
And my goddamn ass is on the line, I muttered, standing before pacing the small room.
Exactly. My recommendation, steer clear. Go get laid and blow off some steam. You're no use to anyone, all fucking stressed out.
That would be great, but I've got too much shit to do. I blew out a heavy breath. On the bright side, at least it gives me more time to analyze the situation. Just be careful. This guy's a fucking shark. You've been putting in a lot of hours, and I know you're running on fumes.
My body stiffened. Are you doubting me, Dope? Never, but even the gods make mistakes. Just watch your back.
My irritable reaction had just proven Dope right. I was exhausted and not my best. Always, thanks for the heads up. I'll catch you later. I entered the call and stared at my cell in the palm of my hand. Maybe my friend was right, and I should enjoy my evening. Too bad it wouldn't be with Ella's thighs around my head. I stood and approached the door, wondering why in the hell this woman had grabbed my attention so damn quickly. No matter what I longed for, though, I had to get her out of my system. I had shit to do, and no room in my life for fucking feelings.
Chapter 3. Ella. Laters, babe. Thanks for going out tonight, my best friend Cammy said as she pulled her car into my driveway. It was fun. I needed to blow off some steam. I reached for the door handle. And that sexy bartender who flirted with you, Ella. You should go back and chat him up. My lips pressed into a thin line. I don't have time for a relationship. Cammy shifted in her seat and looked at me. You've used that excuse since before we were in college. Cammy smirked as she tapped her fingernails against the steering wheel. I'll just sign you up for speed dating. An ornery glint filled her eyes. Or better yet, I'll find you a hottie on Farmers Only. She threw her head back and laughed hysterically. I'll even buy you your first pair of suspenders and cowboy boots. She snorted loudly, then broke into laughter again. Don't you dare. I glared a hole into her, hoping like hell she wouldn't go that far just because she thought I needed a man in my life. Cammy's laughter died down, and she patted my leg. I want you to be happy, that's all. I know you've been dealing with a lot. I stared out the front window. Cammy and I had been friends for 12 years, and she knew nearly everything about me. Almost. It's life. I make it work. Ella, I have to practically kidnap you to have any fun in life. Look at tonight. You went to the club, danced all night, and even got a drink on the house from the sexy bartender. Hell, you're still home before your bedtime. She snickered, clearly entertaining herself. My mood plummeted faster than a roller coaster on its steepest dive. You know why I don't go out. A heavy silence filled the car, shattering the lighter mood. Her expression softened and compassion filled her pretty features. Babe, you have to stop hiding. Live your life. I'm working on it. I shook my head. I opened the door and started to climb out. Glancing at my bestie, my heart softened. I love you for being an amazing friend. And I'll think about talking to the hot bartender again. Do or do not. There is no try. She replied in her best Yoda imitation. And the hot bartender is absolutely delicious with those blue eyes and broad shoulders. With a mix of frustration and weariness due to my situation, I reminded myself that Cammy was on my side and only wanted the best for me. Drive safe. I blew her a kiss before I closed the door. Drawing a deep, steadying breath, I made my way to the front door of my house, my sanctuary. Among my friends, I was the only one who had managed to purchase my own home. It wasn't luck or chance. It was sheer willpower and meticulous planning. I had set a goal for myself to own a place by 29, and I'd made it a reality. Slipping the key into the deadbolt, it clicked, and I opened the heavy front door. As a single female, I wanted to feel safe at night and had selected higher quality doors for greater protection. Once inside, I slipped off my heels. My feet killed me from dancing all night. I secured the lock and tossed my keys into the brownwood bowl on the hall table. It was almost 1 a.m, and I was exhausted. But I had to unwind and then take a hot shower before I tumbled into bed. I scooped up the pieces of mail I'd tossed on the coffee table before leaving for the club. The television remote caught the soft light of the lamp, and I retrieved it from the gray sofa before I sat down. The sound from the news filled the otherwise quiet space. A serial killer is on the loose, and police are reminding residents of Portland to lock their doors, windows, and use an alarm system if available, the female announcer said. What? I leaned forward, listening intently. With 3 murders occurring in the last 2 months, police have come forward and a full investigation to catch the murderer is underway. No other details have been supplied at this time. Shocked, I collected my phone from my back pocket and messaged Cammy. Me. Shit, we have a psycho on the loose. Have you heard about the serial killer in the area? Cammy. Girl, what the hell have I told you about watching the news? It just creates fear and anxiety. However, I guess the serial killer is kind of important. Me. Maybe I should get an alarm system. Cammy. I'm on the 8th floor of an apartment building, so I think I'm safe. Unless the killer is Spider-Man and wants to scale the building. Me. Lock your doors and don't bring home any strangers. I'm taking you shopping at Adam and Eve to curb your insatiable appetite soon. Cammy. Sweet. Just tell me when and I'm game. Lol. Me. Lol. Love you, bitch. Cammy. Right back at ya. I set my phone on the end table and listened to the weather forecast for the weekend. Sunny and 80 would be perfect. I could open the windows and allow some fresh air into the house. On second thought, maybe not if a killer was running around. With the murderer information finally sinking into my thick head, a wave of terror crashed over me as the thought cemented itself in my gut. A murderer, lurking in my neighborhood. My heart pounded in my chest as I checked all the door and window locks, the sound of each latch clicking into place, echoing with a sense of finality and protection. But could anything truly keep out a determined killer? Returning to the couch, I shuffled through the junk mail, then spotted the dreaded envelope I'd been expecting. My stomach somersaulted as I opened the bill and stared at the amount due. Shit! I threw the letter on the side table and rubbed my face with my hands. My mind raced, a frantic whirlwind of calculations, sifting through my expenses for areas I could tighten. Every hard-earned penny mattered. My day job as a paralegal took care of most living expenses. Barely. When I'd bought the house, my finances were in perfect order. But those relentless medical bills wouldn't let up. Yet, wallowing in despair over circumstances out of my control was pointless. With a renewed determination to push forward through the overwhelm, I hopped off the sofa and swiped my cell off the end table. I walked past the kitchen and down the short hall. My one-story home was tucked away at the end of the cul-de-sac, and the back of the house faced a green space. Within, it boasted two sunlit bedrooms, each decorated with soft shades of browns, personal mementos, and pictures of family vacations, evoking warmth and comfort. The ensuite bathroom showcased a large jetted tub and separate shower, while the other sported a sleek modern shower and tub combo. The open concept layout seamlessly melded the living, dining, and kitchen areas, letting conversations and scents flow freely between them. Vaulted ceilings towered overhead, adorned with wooden beams that added depth to the space. Large windows sprinkled throughout allowed generous sunlight to spill in during the day, casting golden hues and dancing shadows upon the dark hardwood floors. But beyond its physical attributes, what filled me with immense pride was the fact that every corner, nook, and cranny of this cherished space was completely mine. Alexa, light on. My lamp blinked to life as I entered the bedroom. A lavender duvet was draped over my queen-size bed, and matching pillows were propped against the headboard. On the opposite side, a vintage wooden dresser stood, its surface neatly organized. My favorite part of the space was the cozy reading nook nestled by the window, equipped with a comfortable gray chair, soft throw pillows, and a lavender blanket. Against the other wall was my workstation that housed my MacBook. Opening my laptop, I turned it on and waited as the machine whirred to life. My fingernails clicked against the keys as I pulled up the website and logged on. Once I'd collected my mobile camera, I headed to the ensuite bathroom. In seconds, I'd stripped and discarded my jeans and teal-colored top onto the tiled floor. Maybe I should feel shame or guilt about how I earned my additional income. But I didn't. It was my secret. No one knew. Not even Cammy. Suddenly, an overwhelming wave of loneliness washed over me. Instead of taking home hot bartenders at the end of the night, my interactions were limited to men on the other side of a screen, lacking any real personal connection. For me, the job was primarily a means to pay my bills, and usually, the absence of a meaningful relationship in my life hadn't bothered me. But for some reason, it stung at the moment. Though I had had a few relationships in the past, none were worth reminiscing about. Maybe the rush of emotion was because the bartender had flirted with me. Or maybe it had been my conversation with Cammy. I wasn't sure. It's not like you don't enjoy your work sometimes, I reminded myself while I opened the shower door and walked inside. Pushing up on my tiptoes, I placed the camera strategically on the top ledge and turned on the water. Realizing I'd set my phone near my computer, I hurried to grab it. I pulled up the app and tapped the red record button. Steam billowed from under the hot spray and into the bathroom as I stepped beneath it and secured the door behind me. Glancing up, I made sure the webcam was at the right angle. With a few pumps of my vanilla and peach body wash, I slowly lathered up my breasts. I took my time and gave them extra attention for the video. Water streamed between my soapy tits and trickled down my stomach, and my fingertips followed the trail until I reached my thighs. Careful not to lose my balance, I propped one foot on the shower seat, allowing the camera full access to my pussy. My fingers spread my sensitive flesh and massaged my clit for the camera. I leaned against the wall for balance as I moaned. The longer I continued to touch myself, the more money I would make. The key was to draw it out for as long as I could. Closing my eyes, the handsome bartender flashed before me. His corded biceps and strong hands were the first thing I'd noticed about him as he waited on customers at the club. The name on his tag had read Sebastian. When he spoke, his Australian accent had made my entire body tingle. Imagining that he was on his knees in front of me, his tongue expertly teasing and prodding at my tender flesh as he slid his finger inside me made my core clench with longing. My back arched as he ravaged my body with his mouth, then spun me around and plunged his thick cock inside me from behind. My legs trembled with the fantasy as a sweet sensation swirled in my lower belly. After another 5 minutes of recording, I allowed myself to come, adding a bit of extra drama for the performance. I licked the water droplets off my mouth as I rinsed the suds off my tan skin. I turned off the water and opened the door, displaying my backside as I stepped out on the fluffy brown mat and reached for the plush matching towel on the rack. Seductively, I winked at the camera before I disappeared out of the bathroom and turned off the recording from my app. With a few clicks of the mouse, I loaded the video. I wrapped the towel around me and sat in the chair, waiting. 10 minutes later, the video was edited, and I uploaded it to the adult website. "Hope you enjoy how wet I am for you," I typed before I submitted it for anyone who wanted to pay to watch. A smile twitched at the corner of my mouth as a message popped up in the chat box. "Are you there?" Shadow Whisperer asked. Whoever was behind the username was one of my best customers over the last year, and I always tried to give him a little extra. I typed out my response. "For you, always. Can we talk tonight?" My shoulders sagged with exhaustion. Sometimes conversations would last for hours. Maybe I should mention that I had a very short block of time. Only for half an hour. Apparently it was long enough because the payment bell dinged. A figure cloaked in darkness filled the screen, and I smiled. "Hi there," I said, starting the conversation. "Did you miss me?" A disguised voice streamed through my computer speakers. "You know I can't stay away from my naughty girl for long." I responded with a soft purr, then, "I'm always happy to spend time with you." It wasn't an out-and-out lie. Whoever this guy was showed up for me nearly every evening that I worked. I had a list of fans, but he was by far the most dedicated and brought in a lot of money. As long as Shadow Whisperer paid well, I would give him a good time. Even though I hadn't ever admitted it to him, some nights I liked our twisted fantasy time together. I also wanted to know who was behind the screen, and why did he spend so much time with me? Did he not have a family? He cleared his throat, interrupting my thoughts. I just watched your shower video. He paused and shifted in his chair. Who were you thinking of when you had your hand between your thighs, stroking your hot cunt? I purposefully took a deep breath, my breasts rising and falling just for him. You know it's always you, baby. Tell me more, he demanded as the shadow of his hand disappeared. The sound of his zipper lowering made me smile. You're demanding and dominating as you spin me around and bend me over. I need you to fuck me hard and make me forget that anything else exists other than your huge cock pumping into my wet cunt. You slide your hand between my legs and pinch my clit so hard I scream. He growled as he stroked his cock in front of me, the shadows hiding his face and most of his body. You pull out of me, and I turn around while you grab my hair and force me to my knees. Telling me to part my mouth, you rub the tip of your cock along my mouth. Eagerly, I part my lips and flick my tongue across your sensitive head, tasting pre-cum. Sliding you into my mouth, I moan as I take the full length of you until you hit the back of my throat. I stroke and suck until you pull out and spray cum all over my tits. That's it. You're the only one that makes me cum this hard. His breathing hitched in his throat as he groaned and released. Secretly, I gravitated to him as well. But he had made it clear I was his naughty girl, and no one could ever replace me. Maybe it was bordering on a sick obsession, but I fed on it too. His chuckle filtered through my computer speakers, and I waited for him to speak. I think it's time that you give me your real name instead of your screen name, Angel Fluff, he said. You know the rules, baby. No personal details. I nibbled on my manicured nail and peeked through my long black eyelashes. Fuck the rules. I have a friend with a sex club. We could meet there, and you can give me my own private show. I'll remain behind the glass and watch you. I'll pay you $50,000. What? I shrieked as I leaned back too far in my chair, my arms flailing around, causing my towel to drop to my waist as I struggled to regain my balance and dignity. His chuckle rumbled through his broad chest. You heard me. Once I settled in again, I gathered the towel and attempted to cover my breasts. Leave it down, he ordered. Slowly, I lowered it away from my body. Something about his tone had me obeying before I realized I was giving in to him so quickly. $50,000 to watch me in person. I don't understand. Maybe I did. I was part of his daily sexual fantasies. Why wouldn't he want more? And 50 grand could put a nice dent in the bills I was struggling to pay. There is nothing to understand. I want what I want. A few beats of silence passed before I responded. You'll be behind glass and won't touch me? Yes, for now. But before you say yes, you should know that I have some very particular tastes. He shifted in his chair. My eyes narrowed at the screen as I attempted to figure out what his game was. Like what? Threesomes? BDSM? What's your dirty addiction? When the time comes, you'll find out. His tone held an edge of darkness. Danger. A chill slithered over my arms, and I swallowed down the fear, telling my inner voice to hush. it wasn't about what I was comfortable with. It was about being able to make quick money. Desperate people sometimes had to silence their instincts. Desperate people didn't get to worry about things like fear or being uneasy. When and where? You'll fly on my private plane. I'll confirm the time for you shortly, but it will be in the afternoon. When you land in Seattle, a car will pick you up and drive you to the club. Goosebumps prickled my skin, and a sense of foreboding trotted in hot on its heels. I shook my head, baffled at his invitation. No one had ever offered me anything like this before. I fucking lost my mind. But how can I pass up money like that? I took a deep breath and reminded myself of all the good that would come from working for one afternoon. Once the details were settled, we signed off. Never in a million years would I ever tell Cammy what I'd just agreed to, even if it meant keeping me safe. When I first started to work online, I promised myself that I would never let them touch me. Just watch. Nothing's changed, Ella. Stop being a baby. A prickly sensation washed over me, and I rubbed my arms, warding off the haunted feeling. Then, my brain gave me a big fuck you. Holy shit. If he wants me to meet him at a club, does that mean he knows that I live in Portland? A thick lump formed in my throat. I had to back out. A chime from my laptop pulled me out of my panic, and I hurried to see who was contacting me. I propped a hand on the desk and leaned down, reading the message. Shadow Whisperer. Your flight leaves tomorrow at 1:12 in the afternoon from PDX and arrives in Seattle an hour and 10 minutes later. My heart broke into a gallop. Fuck. He knows where I live. I had to cancel now or never. Once I gave my word, I kept it, no matter the consequences. My hand shook as I debated my response. Me. See you soon. Remember why, Ella? When you're terrified as hell, remember what this is all for. I said softly. With that, I signed off and closed my computer before I crawled my exhausted ass into bed. I set my alarm, ready to grab some sleep before I had to be at the airport. But my brain had other ideas, and thoughts galloped through my head along with a wake of fear. What in the hell had I just agreed to? Remember the why.
Chapter 4. Death. Remember that God, under the law, ordained a lamb to be offered up to him every morning and evening. Thomas Ken. Darkness shielded my presence as I waited for the perfect opportunity to catch Andrew alone. It shouldn't be difficult, since he practiced bad habits after nightfall. Some people thought they were safe from me because they lived in a wealthy neighborhood with high-tech cameras and security systems. How wrong they were. A white Pathfinder approached the house, and I stilled, willing my breathing to become so faint that it was almost undetectable, even to me. Little did he realize that I'd been following him for almost a month now. I had gone to great lengths to learn his schedule, identify the cheating assholes that he called his friends, and even noted the days and times he attended the gym to keep up his buff appearance. He was pathetic, a fake. He appeared to the public as a successful, loving family man. What his wife hadn't figured out yet was that he was balls deep in a different chick every other night. He also had a nasty gambling habit and treated people like shit behind closed doors. That was just the beginning of his lies. But I knew the truth, all the ugly, ink-black truth about him. He climbed out of the car and stuck a pair of red panties into his $3,000 briefcase, chuckling as if he was getting away with his affair. He was dead wrong. humming softly. He approached the row of garbage and recycling canisters along the darkest side of his home. Clueless to my presence, he tossed an empty Burger King bag into the green container. Without a sound, I stepped from my hiding place behind him. "Hello, Andrew. Welcome to hell." I slapped my gloved hand over his mouth, and with my other hand, I stabbed a needle into the side of his neck. The full moon cast an eerie shadow across the water as a small ripple traveled over the otherwise smooth surface of the lake. I had searched for the perfect place to bring Andrew to. It was a hidden, quiet area with no homes in sight for miles. The tree cover was perfect for what I had in mind for the evening. Smiling as if I didn't have a care in the world, I turned when I heard muffled noises. "Rest well," I asked, while I kneeled near Andrew, who was lying on his side, on the hard, unforgiving ground, wiggling back and forth as if it would help. The earth wasn't the only one who wouldn't grant forgiveness. His mouth widened in horror as his mind scrambled to understand where he was. He squirmed against the ropes, tied snugly around his wrists and ankles. I ripped the duct tape off his mouth and left the corner dangling from one cheek, laughing as his screams turned into pitiful cries. His face drained of all color, making the fine lines of age more pronounced. His eyes wide and bulging, darted frantically from side to side, desperately searching for an escape. There was none.
"Don't hurt me, please. I'll give you anything you want."
Snot coated his upper lip, and his tongue swiped along his parched mouth. Unmoved by his pathetic begging, I sneered at him. "Welcome to your worst nightmare, Andrew. Let me introduce myself." I leaned close to his left ear. "I'm Death."
"What the fuck, man? You dress up as the Grim Reaper and terrorize people?"
Tears rolled down his cheeks as he pretended to be tough. "I don't terrorize, motherfucker." I rose and walked away, leaving him hidden beneath the trees 100 feet away. No one lived near the area, so even if he screamed at the top of his lungs, it wouldn't matter. Every flash of movement from a squirrel or hoot of an owl caused him to flinch or gasp, and the sweat on his brow gleamed in the dim light. His dilated pupils gave him a wild appearance.
"Why am I here?"
Horror twisted his voice. Now that he was conscious, I would let him think he had an opportunity to turn his situation around. The moment he realized he was fucked, I would know. Until then, I would enjoy toying with my prey. A jagged strike of lightning split the darkness. I lifted my chin and sniffed the approaching rain. Time was running out. I would have to move faster than anticipated. On the other hand, as long as I was gone by the time the downpour started, any evidence of Andrew and me would be long gone once the water washed it away. By the shift of the wind and the scent of the storm, I had less than an hour. Slowly, I strolled back to the now quiet man. Ah, he just realized how fucked he really was. My favorite part of our time together. The tendons in his neck stood out, taut as bowstrings, and his shoulders were hunched as he stared at his swollen stomach. The myriad of stitches haphazardly holding the tissue together like a stitched-up football. Blood oozed out in trickles, and his bruised skin expanded, turning a multitude of colors as it went.
"What did you do to me, you sick son of a bitch?"
Tisk, tisk. No need for name-calling. I stood in front of him and plucked a new pair of black gloves from my coat pocket. His gaze narrowed as he watched me pull them on, one at a time. We all have a time. I flexed my fingers, allowing the leather to mold to my hands. A time to cry. A time to laugh. A time to die. His whine broke through his sobs as he asked, "What did you do to my stomach?" I laughed as I stared at his distended abdomen. The stitches were pure perfection and would rival those of any surgeon. One of my favorite quotes is, "Stand through life firm as a rock in the sea, undisturbed and unmoved by its ever-rising waves," by Hazrat Inayat Khan. Granted, we're not near the sea, but in your case, a lake will have to do. His breathing came in short, erratic bursts, as if the very act of drawing breath was a struggle. "What did I do to you?" Spittle flew out of my mouth as a flood of emotions twisted his expression. "I knocked you out, and while you were sleeping, I split you open and sewed a bag of rocks in your stomach. You'll either die from the half-assed surgery I performed, or you'll drown when I toss your pathetic ass into the lake and sink to the bottom. The rocks will ensure that you don't make it to the surface. Ever." Andrew screamed and thrashed on the ground before he vomited. I assumed the pain would render him unconscious shortly. Regardless, the thunder was growing closer, which meant I had to wrap up our time together. "Any last words?"
Why me? What did I do to you?"
I pretended to think about his question, but I didn't give a fuck. He was a monster, and I was ridding the world of one more. It was a tough job, but someone had to do it. "Nothing. You did nothing to me. It was what you did to everyone else." I leaned over, careful to avoid the vomit crusting to the side of Andrew's lips, and I slapped the duct tape over his mouth again before I whispered my goodbyes. Adrenaline pumped through my veins, eager to give the sorry bastard what he deserved. I dragged his body onto the black sheeting, ignoring the fact he'd just pissed himself. At least I wouldn't have to smell it for long. I made quick work of securing him in the thick plastic, then dragged him to the edge of the water where the speedboat waited for us. Breathing heavily, I dumped his body onto the floor and climbed in after him. It was a beautiful evening for a ride, if I did say so myself. I wiped the sweat from my forehead as I started the engine and pulled away from the land. Most of the time I enjoyed slicing and dicing my victims, but I had to stay ahead of the cops and FBI, so I changed my methods on a regular basis. Keeping the authorities guessing was almost as much fun as the actual killing. Whistling "Pop Goes the Weasel" as the rain began to fall, I guided the boat toward the middle of the lake, where Andrew would take his final breath.
Chapter 5. Ella. I gently lifted my airplane seat from its reclined position, feeling the warmth and smooth texture of the luxurious brown leather beneath my fingertips as we were about to land. The moment I stepped on board, a flight attendant handed me a drink, and the promise of a movie awaited on the sleek, flat-screen television ahead. It was the most lavish experience I had ever had. A girl could get used to this kind of treatment, and fast. I braced myself as the plane's wheels skidded against the airstrip. Besides my nerves jumping around like a cat on a hot tin roof in August, the flight had been uneventful. At least I was familiar with the Seattle airport and didn't have to worry about getting lost. As I was escorted off the plane, I instinctively adjusted the strap of my crossbody Kate Spade purse over my shoulder, my fingers fidgeting with its edges. I navigated the bustling terminal, occasionally pushing a stray lock of hair behind my ear. Since I was flying on a private plane, I could avoid the added stress of elbowing my way through the crowd at baggage claim. I pushed through the airport exit door and strolled into the early autumn sunshine. Leaves scraped the sidewalk as the wind swept them in the opposite direction. Slipping my sunglasses on, I scanned the area for a limo. From 5 cars away, I spotted one and quickly headed toward it, wondering if it was for me. As I approached, the occupant climbed out, revealing a handsome middle-aged man in uniform who hurried around to greet me.
Angel Fluff?
I nearly cringed at my website name being used in public. That's me. I offered him a kind smile as he opened the back passenger door. I gently raised the hem of my long blue cami dress to prevent tripping and gracefully stepped inside.
I've been hired for the day to escort you to the meeting place. Please, enjoy a glass of wine. We'll reach your destination in 30 minutes. Traffic is brutal.
I could use a stiff drink to knock the edge off, but wine would do. Settling into the seat, I glanced around at the fully stocked bar and the small television mounted in the corner. A chilled bottle and opener were waiting for me on the center console. I removed the cork and filled my glass. I let out a heavy sigh. I didn't know whether the next 30 minutes would feel like the longest or shortest of my life, but I was about to find out. Finally, the limo pulled around to the back of a large red brick building near downtown. Despite the glass of wine, I was wound tight, my nerves standing on end. I tried to talk myself into having fun today, but I was walking into unknown territory. What if I never left? I chided myself for allowing my anxiety to dictate my thoughts. Shadow Whisperer had never given me a reason to fear him. Until now. I reminded myself that 50 grand would make me feel a hell of a lot better. The only thing that kept me sane and partially settled was the fact that he wouldn't touch me. He would remain behind the glass, watching. The back door opened, and the driver extended his hand to me. The afternoon clouds had muted the sun, and I tucked my sunglasses into my handbag. I climbed out of the car, and as my heel touched the pavement, a shock of terror shot through me. I'm actually doing this. Goosebumps pebbled my skin as I stood and straightened my dress, my palms growing clammy with each passing second. I could back out, run, and never talk to Shadow Whisperer again. It was what I should do. It's what a sane person would do. I swallowed over the lump in my throat, images dancing through my terrified thoughts. Remember the why. After I collected my courage, I tipped my chin in the air and squared my shoulders. I had never been a girl to back down from a challenge, and I sure as hell wouldn't now.
Follow me.
He strolled toward a back entrance and scanned a key card. The lock clicked, and he pulled on the door handle as his cell rang. He ushered me into the dark hall before he answered.
Sir?
His jaw tensed.
I understand. I'll let her know.
Frowning, I waited for him to end the call. He replaced his phone inside his jacket pocket and cleared his throat.
I'm terribly sorry. Your companion for the afternoon has been called away on unexpected business. He said he'll reach out to reschedule and he'll pay you half of the agreed-upon amount for your trouble.
My hand flew to my chest, relief nearly causing my knees to buckle.
That's too bad. I was looking forward to it.
Liar. You're scared shitless. As soon as the relief had dissipated, curiosity took its place. Who is the man behind the screen?
He asked me to accompany you back to the jet and make sure you arrive safely back to Portland.
Thank you. It's a beautiful plane. It beats the hell out of flying commercial.
Shadow Whisperer seemed to at least care about my safety. Maybe he was a good person to have around after all.
I agree.
A silly grin eased across my face. Is it wrong that I'm more excited to fly on his jet again? I cleared my throat.
More than meeting Shadow Whisperer at the club? His deep chuckle rippled through the air before he extended his hand to me.
Call me Thomas, since we might see each other again.
I stared at him before shaking his hand and searching my brain for a fake name. Janie. But maybe you already knew my real name.
I do now.
His warm smile reached his kind eyes.
Are you ready?
Yeah. He had no idea how eager I was to return home. I doubted whether I would receive payment, but the limo and jet ride had given me a small adventure that invigorated me. For the first time in years, I felt alive. My whole body had been infused with immense fear, but I still went ahead and did it all anyway. It was empowering. That disheartened and weak part of me that let paranoia, suspicion, and panic consume my daily life shattered. And all it had taken was one plane ride. I felt invigorated, powerful, like I could do anything I put my mind to, as long as I drowned out the little voice in my head warning me, restraining me. That long dormant part that once took chances and jumped before looking was waking up, and I was going to make sure it didn't go back to sleep again. It was time to make some changes in my life. On the way back to the airport, I scrambled for clues about who the man behind the username Shadow Whisperer was. He was wealthy and chose to remain hidden, which made me think he was someone in the public eye who didn't want his sex life in the spotlight. But who was he? And why had he chosen me from all the other women who worked online? A muffled ding sounded, and I rifled through my purse and retrieved my phone. I held back my squeal as 25 grand hit my Venmo account. A rush of disbelief slammed into my chest as I focused on the zeros. Holy shit, this guy is for real. My heart soared with gratitude for the much-needed money. It would give me a bit of breathing room until the next round of bills found their way to my mailbox. Without delay, I transferred it to my checking account. I was afraid if I waited, the payment would disappear. I settled into the plush seat, smiling to myself. Cammy was right. It was time to stop hiding and live my life. Fortunately, I knew precisely the place to do it. I typed out a quick text